Hey, this is Pastor Derry from Abundant Life Worship Center, and we've got a great treat for you today. Instead of my regular Sunday message, we had a guest speaker, Pastor Ron Nelson from Progressive Faith Ministries in Sacramento, and his message titled, For the Love of God and My Divine Purpose. This message is going to be a great blessing to you. So now, here's Pastor Ron Nelson.
It's good to be with family. Hallelujah. Amen. So we're glad to be here. Amen. The praise team, you guys sound like angels up there. Let's give the praise team a hand of praise in here. Amen. Hallelujah. We thank and honor God for all of you that are at your post and at your station and operating as thus saith the Lord in your individual ministries as you make up the family of Abundant Life. Amen. Because it takes a family. Amen. And it takes all of us, amen, to do what God has set forth, amen, from the foundations of this world. And he called it forth, amen, in his time and season, amen. So we thank God for all of you, and I certainly thank God for the invitation, amen. I thought I was coming next month. And I had something completely different on my heart. I hadn't had enough time to marinate on it. Amen. But I'm glad to be here today. Amen. I believe God has a word for the house. And I'm so glad that I've been doing this long enough that I don't have to try to preach a good sermon so everybody say, well, good things about you. Amen. I learned a long time ago from one of my mentors. And she told me that except the Lord build a house. Is that word? Amen. Amen. They that labor in vain. Amen. And that there's a word for every house. And I want to try to have everybody stop moving for a minute. Because I believe God has something, amen, for each and every one of us in here. And I know that you are a learned church. I know that you are a word-based church. Amen. So I'm going to tell you to take out your pens and your pads, amen, because if you don't mind, I'm going to do a leadership message today, amen, and I believe that it's going to touch each and every one of our hearts, and we're going to see ourselves somewhere in the midst of this message today, amen, amen. And to the visitors here, you couldn't have came to a better place, amen. Hello, somebody, amen. Y'all don't talk in here, huh? Amen. Let me just curse the devil right now. Let me tell you something. Pastor Moten said you guys can talk. Amen, somebody. Y'all have the liberty and the freedom to say amen, because the devil is a lie. Amen. Don't you know that when you speak, you reaffirm God's word and the presence of God in your life and in your circumstance? The enemy don't want you to say nothing, because the power of life and death is in the tongue. Amen. And whatever you're going through, if the praise team is singing and you want to reaffirm that word, you want to sing along. You want to say something, because whatever you're going through, you can turn that around. Amen. Just by reaffirming. So you can say amen in here. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to thank God for my wife. Amen. She turned 18 yesterday. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. So it's a birthday weekend this weekend, and we had guests over, and when Pastor called me and said, you up tomorrow? I'm like, okay. Let me hurry up and get them out the house so I can go talk to the Lord. Amen. But I'm glad to be here. In all seriousness, I take this very seriously. I don't play God, and I don't play church. Amen. So we take the things of God seriously, and I believe God has a word for us. Let's go before the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you and I praise you, O God, for your many manifold blessings. Lord, I thank you for this church, Lord God, for this pastoral team, this pastoral staff, and for all of the laborers and leaders, Lord, that you called forth, Lord God. I thank you for so many faces and so many loved ones that are here today, Lord God. But nevertheless, Lord God, we come to preach a word, Lord God. And Father, they don't need to hear me, but they need to hear you and see you, Lord God. Father God, let your presence, Lord God, now take over this place, Lord God. Father, I thank you right now. We come not for fame, fortune, nor reputation, Lord God, but that in the end, the sinner would be saved, the black backslider would be redeemed, Lord God, that you would be glorified and the church would be edified. Now, thank you today, Lord God, and it's in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Don't Sister Tammy just look lovely sitting up here? I want to share this with you, Abundant Life, that a first lady can make or break a church. Amen. So y'all better love y'all first lady. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Y'all love y'all first lady. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You make Pastor Moe's life a lot easier. Amen. If you love your first lady. Amen. I'm going to speak to you this morning, and I have to put my eyes on. Amen. Probably last time you see me, I could see a little bit better. Amen. But I'm going to put my eyes on, and I want to speak to you today from Genesis, the 22nd chapter. Amen. How many people in here love God? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Please. Amen. I woke up, I went to bed last night, and my tonsils had got inflamed. I couldn't even swallow. Amen. And I just started praying, because all these little things just don't bother me after 28 years. I've been doing this a long time. Hallelujah. So I got halls and water. That's all I need. Hallelujah. Amen. Genesis, the 22nd chapter. And we're going to read verses 7 and 8. Can I get a little bit more volume, because I have no voice? Verses 7 and 8. And you'll find this in your reading. And Isaac spoke unto Abraham, his father, and said, "My father." And he said, "Here am I, my son." And he said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So they went both together, both of them together. I want to speak to you just for a few moments about the love of God and my divine purpose. Amen. The love of God and my divine purpose. And I want to dispel from the very onset some misnomers that we have in the Christian community. Number one, we believe that the only person in church that has any type of purpose is the pastor. I know you don't get that kind of teaching here, but I just want to just speak to you for a little while. We've been taught for a long time that the only one gifted, the only one anointed, and the only one that God has called for any significant reason is the pastor. But I stop by here to tell you today that God has called each and every one of us and birthed us with purpose. Amen. From the very foundations of this world, God had selected you, amen, and had birthed purpose and destiny in your life, amen. And all the things that has transpired all the way up until this point has led us to the point of reaching our purpose on the way to our destiny. Amen. And I just want to tell you that means all the good stuff and all the bad stuff. Scripture tells us, "For we know that all things work together for the good." It not for everybody, because it then signifies and separates, because it says to them that are called according to his purpose. So we're here today. We want to inspire and teach and hopefully remind all of you that it doesn't matter where you're sitting and how far you're up to the front, how far you're in the back, or what your role is in the body, your role is important. Amen. And if you have not discovered your purpose, then hopefully today you'll have an encounter with the Lord, and your purpose will be revealed to you so that you understand that your life has significance. Look at your neighbor and tell them, "My life has significance." Oh, y'all scared of your neighbor, son. Do we need to move some people? Look at your neighbor, looking right in the eye, and tell them that my life has some significance. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus did an interesting thing, and I want you to pay close attention in John the 13th chapter, Jesus began to prepare his disciples before his imminent departure. Washed their feet, had the Lord's Supper, did many things for his disciple. But when chapter 14 entered in, he made a statement in verse number 1 that for a long time I couldn't understand. He told them to let not your heart be troubled. Listen to what he said. Exactly. He said, ye believe in God. Isn't that what he said? But now he says, now you got to believe in me. Amen. And he began to teach them as according to what they needed to believe. And it was the reason why I asked everybody if they love God in here. Amen. Because we know and we're confident and secure that we have love for God. Amen. The problem that some of us have is that we are watchers of Jesus. Can I say it like I said in my church? I think there's two different classifications of Christians. I believe that you have Christians and I believe you have believers. Amen. A Christian is somebody that's just saved and that's all they are. Amen. They're going to sit on the side. They're not going to get in the battle. They're not going to get in the fight. They're not going to help. They barely going to pay tithes. They're not going to support the church. They're going to come. They're going to take, and they're never going to give. Amen. But a believer is somebody that walks in the faith, walks in the precepts, walks in the statutes, supports the church, supports the vision, supports the pastor, walks in their purpose, and thereby they empowered. And let me tell you, let you know, there are crown rewards in heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So if you get to your house and it ain't no furniture in, it's because you ain't done nothing. Amen. Hallelujah. In chapter number 21 in the book of Genesis, and I'm going to say this, many of us are familiar with John the 6th chapter. Amen. In John the 6th chapter, Jesus did all kinds of miracles. He healed the multitudes. He did miracles. He fed them. But then he moved from the carnal or the physical need and began to speak spiritual. He began to speak about the fact that if you're going to be with me, you have to eat my body and drink my blood. Amen. And the Bible said that many walk no more with Jesus because of that, because they did not understand the difference between carnality and spirituality. And Jesus turned to his disciples and said, will ye also go away? Peter said, where shall we go? For thou hast the words of eternal life. So I'm not speaking to your physical today. We're going to speak to your spirit today. And the spirit man will grasp hold to what thus saith the spirit today. Chapter 21 in verse number 1 is somewhat of a foundational view of what chapter 22 and where we're going to go today. In chapter in chapter 21 in verse 1, it says, and the Lord visited Sarah. Amen. Look, as he had said. Now, God had told Abraham that he was going to be the father of many nations, and that through his seed, amen, that the earth was going to be full, and that the promise was going to come through his seed, amen. But there was a problem there. Abraham was an old man. Sarah was an older woman, amen. So the natural misunderstandings and non-understandings of the things of God, even though God had selected Abraham, set in. So here it is that in chapter 21, it's saying that God had visited them. But I want to show you a couple of things in 21 before we get to 22. It says, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. And Sarah conceived, and by Abraham a son in his old age. And what does the next thing say? At the set time. Amen. At the set time. God has made many of us promises. God has spoken much purpose and given us many desires to do great things in ministry and in life. Amen. And for some of us, it's just not happening fast enough. Amen. I want to let you know that God operates in times and in seasons. Amen. Abundant life was birthed at the set time that God had set forth. None of you are here by chance. None of you are here this morning by chance. I'm not here this morning by chance. The message change is not by chance. This is all by the sovereign will of God. Amen. So God operates within our lives. And let me just pause and just tell you, despise not humble beginnings. Amen. Don't be one that looks back from where you come from, because where you come from ain't where you're supposed to be now. Your season has changed, and you've got to understand that my season has changed, and now God is ready to elevate me, but to elevate me, he's got to try me. Are you with me so far? Notice here that they begin to dialect and reflect on some of the mistakes that they made, not trusting in what God said. Now, what happens here is that Sarah does not believe that she can bear a son. Sarah then sends in her handmaiden, Hagar. Hagar then goes in to Abraham, but you notice Abraham didn't have a problem with it. Amen. So Hagar bears Abraham a son, and this son's name is Ishmael. Now, the problem with that is that's not what God had told them would happen. So from the time that Ishmael was born until the time God revisited Abraham, God stopped speaking to Abraham for 13 years. He stopped speaking to him. If you go back, and I believe it's in the 12th chapter, you're going to see that Ishmael was born when Abraham was 86 years old. It says 86. Amen. I think that means 86, right? Amen. But the Bible says at the beginning of chapter 13 that Abraham was 99 years old when God spoke to him. See, let me tell you something. When you try to do God's work for him, amen, God might stop talking to you for a while. Amen, somebody. Amen. God is big enough to manifest his purpose in our lives and to bring it all to pass. And God knows you just a little bit better than you know yourself. So God understands what season and what time that you're able to handle what it is that God intends for your life. And amen, if you saved and you say you love God, your life is down for kingdom purposes. Amen, somebody. God has not saved you. God is not blessing you just so that you can drive your nice car, live in your nice house. God has gifted you and given you talents. Amen. And he will anoint you, but it's only for kingdom purposes. Amen. He's not going to anoint anybody for themselves, not going to anoint anybody that people would speak well of them, but he will anoint you so that you can fulfill the purpose that he designed for your life. Now look, let's take a look at what happens when we get ahead of God and do things. Hallelujah. We try to be God sometimes. Don't we do that? Y'all gonna talk to me in here? Amen. Anybody like me try to be God, being God? Anybody done that and then tried to take God's place, and God said something to you and you said that you're gonna work it out now? Since he said it, I can get it done. Amen, somebody. And you crashed and burned and it never materialized and never happened. What it actually happened is you put yourself in a deficit instead of in a place of promise. Amen. Verse number 9, and I'm going to show you what happens with self-effort. The Bible says in verse 9 that Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, which was born to Abraham, mocking. Amen. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son. Amen. Anybody ever said that? Amen. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even Isaac. Now, she was saying something out of anger, out of spite, but she also was speaking prophetically. Amen. Because if I had a little bit more time, I'd show you hallelujah, the efforts of Hagar and the efforts of Sarah and the birth of Ishmael is through self-effort. Amen. And any time that you operating in self-effort, you actually putting yourself back under the bondage of the law. You do understand that. You do understand that we are no longer under the law, that we're under the dispensation of grace. Amen. But somehow we have a dispensational dysfunction, something, that we place ourselves back into self-effort when Jesus said, I'm gonna put my words in their mind, I'm gonna write them on their heart, I'm gonna be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. In other words, it's all on me. Amen. When the law was here, we couldn't do it. We couldn't fulfill it. So he said, I'm going to take the responsibility from you, and now it's going to be all on me. Amen. So they tried to do, and they tried to take God's place. So she said, he can't be heir, but that's what God had said, because God said that the seed, amen, was going to come through Abraham's loin, but amen, but God came back and said that the seed going to come from Sarah. Am I right about it? So here we have chapter 22 about to start. Isaac is born, chapter 21. Ishmael is kicked out the house. Amen. There's great joy, there's great pleasure from the birth of Isaac. Hallelujah. Circumcised on the eighth day. Amen. Hallelujah. God sends away the self-effort so that the promise could take its place. I wish I had some Bible readers. He had to get rid of the self-effort so that the promise could take its place. So now Abraham, hallelujah, is in Euphoria. So he goes and he makes up with Abimelech. They get the well situation squared away. And notice now, in the midst of all of this joy and all of this happiness and all of the peace that now has rested in his house, we're walking as God said. God is blessed. Everything is good, is fine. Have you ever reached a point, hallelujah, where everything that God had said to you was happening and everything was going right? Right, your bills paid, you got the new car, the house, job going good, your husband and wife acting right, old June bug now ain't cutting up no more. Have anybody ever been in that place before? Chapter 22 starts, and notice what the words of chapter 22 are when it starts. And it came to pass. Now I want you to know that any time you see that, you mean something is changing. There's going to be a shift and a transition now from what was happening previously to what's about to happen right now. Hallelujah. Abraham was in joy. Abraham was in pleasure. Abraham was having a good time. And look at what it says in verse 1. It says, after these things. These things, what things you're talking about? Well, maybe it was after God said he would make Abraham a great nation. Maybe it was after God said that he was going to bless him. Maybe it was after he said he was going to make his name great. Maybe it was after the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, but he saved his nephew Lot. Maybe it was after the promise of God being his shield and great reward. Maybe it was that his belief in the Lord would count unto him as righteousness. Maybe it was because the promise was fulfilled and Isaac was born. And maybe it was because, hallelujah, that Isaac not only was born, but he was the carrier, hallelujah, of the promise. Now, after all of these great things and after all of the things that the Lord had said, after the party, the cake, the ice cream, and everything that happened, look at what the Bible says. God, it says God, right? It was God that tempted Abraham. Now, I want to pause here just for a moment and let you know that the devil ain't always the one bringing some stress to your life. We so quick to always want to bring the devil to stuff that's happening, and maybe it's God searching you so that he can elevate you. Let me share this with you. God will never put you in a place so that you can think you've arrived. Oh, shucks. Amen, somebody. You just overcame, you comfortable in that situation, and then God says, I want to take you higher. Yes, Lord. God says that where you're at is not where I tend for you to go. It might be comfortable, but whenever you get comfortable, God says I got to lift you up and take you higher. Abraham loves God. Abraham loved God so much that he left his family, he left his mom and his daddy and his aunties and uncles because God called him. Abraham loves Isaac. This is the son of promise. He loves his child. And here it is that after all that God says, the Bible says that God tempted Abraham. Now, I'm going to get into some leadership training now. Amen. Look at verse number 2. Look at what he said. Take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah. Offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee. Take the promise and take him off yonder to a place that I'm going to tell you. Take him to a mountain, and I want you to offer him. The party ain't even stopped. And now you telling me to take what you have given me and go and offer it. Kill it. Sacrifice it. Amen, somebody. Amen. That would disturb most of us until we realize that chapter 22 in the book of Genesis is a foreshadow of Calvary. Hello, somebody. When we look at chapter 22, we go just to suppose the events that happened from God and Jesus to Abraham and Isaac, from God and man, hallelujah, from Abraham to God. Amen. Are you with me so far? So now we're going to just suppose this. Now let's look at this one more time. It says that God said unto him, take now thy son. Amen. Did not God give his son? Do I got any Bible readers in here? Didn't God say Jesus was his beloved son in whom he is well pleased? Here it is. God is telling Abraham, if I'm going to be able to trust you, you have got to be able to do what I was willing to do. So he said, I want you to take him who thou lovest and get thee to the land of Moriah. Somebody, that's a good place to give God some praise. Well, there y'all go pity patting. That's a good place to give God some praise. Amen. The land of Moriah is thought to be the land where Golgotha's hill was. It's thought to be Calvary. If you do your research and you study it, the Moriah and Calvary are the same place. So God then told Abraham, take your son, because I'm going to give my son. God told him, I want you to take him to Moriah, because I'm taking mine to Calvary. Now look at what happens next. He says, now I want you to offer him there on one of the mountains. Now, if you look at the map, there are three mountains on Moriah. One on the right, you got it already. One in the middle, and one on the left. Amen. Now notice here the instructions that he gives him. I want you to go to one of the mountains, but the one which I tell you. He's signifying that you can be in the right, you can be in the right area, but in the wrong place. Am I talking to somebody in here? Each one of those mountains have a spiritual significance on the future spiritual intent of Isaac here. The mountain on the right, if he had went to the mountain on the right, he would have took the characteristic spirit of the thief on the cross that said, Father, when you enter into thy kingdom, would you take me? Had he would have went to the mountain on the left, he would have taken the characteristic spirits, and his life would have played out that he would have been the agitating one that's on the left. But the one that he had to go to was the... The one on the right, the one on the left, and the one in the middle. So he says, I need you to go to the one that I tell you. Amen. Now let me pause and say, it's very important that you do exactly what God tells you to do. Don't you go to the right. Don't you go to the left. Don't input your opinion. God don't need your opinion. We was in Sunday school class one day, and we were dealing with a subject, and I had an individual say, well, I think, and when he said that, I said, hold on, this is not a philosophy class. This is a Bible class, this is Sunday school. So if you're not saying what thus saith the word, let me just share this. The word defines itself. God not giving you a word you can't read, interpret, and get an understanding. Hallelujah. But when you sanctify your life, he will give you rhema of that word. You could read the same word 100 times and get 100 different meanings, but the foundation never changes. I want you to go to the mountain that I tell you. Leaders, you got to go where God tells you to go. Amen. Now, the Bible says in verse number 3 that Abraham rose up and he took two servants, two young men with him. You know, two is the number of a witness. He didn't want, God needed to, that there would be witnesses as to what was about to happen. And he took his son Isaac, and if you get down to the bottom of verse 3, and it says, and they went unto the place which God had told him. Amen. They went to the place. Don't it say that at the end, bottom of verse 3? It said they went to the place. So here they are. They arrive at Mount Moriah. And I can just see Abraham looking, and there's three mountains. And let me tell you something. Remember, God operates in times and seasons. Sometimes you could be in the right place, but he has not released you into your season. Oh, you don't believe me? Look at verse 4. Look what verse 4 says. Then on what day? It wasn't the day he got there, was it? It wasn't the day after he got there, but it was the third day. And 3 is a representation of the Godhead and the fullness of God operating. So look, it says now on the third day, when there was complete union in the Godhead, when all of, hallelujah, of heaven is in one position, in one place, everybody's together, there's unity and abundant life. The Bible says that Abraham lifted up his eyes and he saw. It wasn't until the third day when everything was in union, working together in sync, was Abraham able to, even though he was in the right place, it wasn't until then that he was able to lift up his eyes and see. And let me tell you, where there's dysfunction, there can be no vision. Amen, somebody. I don't care if you can preach better than Pastor Derry. I don't care if you know more Bible. You ain't called to be the pastor. Hello, somebody. Amen. And you will never see out of the eyes of the shepherd. Amen. Let me tell you how you control a shepherd. Anybody want to know the secret to controlling a shepherd? Pray to God. All you got to do is pray. If you praying, God's going to shift and move him if he makes a wrong choice. And can I share something else with you? He's going to make some bad choices. Hello, somebody. Amen. Y'all, he ain't Christ. He gonna stiff to the left and move to the right sometime. He gonna get over there and say, dang, I blew this one. Let me get back over here. Hey, hello, somebody. Amen. Amen. So the Bible says that when everything was in unity, that he lifted up his eyes and he saw a place afar. Verse number 5 says an interesting thing. He now looks, now that he has seen the place where he's going, he looks over to the young man and says, y'all abide here. Amen. Let me tell you something. There are some places, leaders, that everybody in your auxiliary can't go with you. Amen. Amen. They might be willing, but they're not mature enough. Hello, somebody. And as a leader, you have got to be mature enough to protect people even though they don't know that you're protecting them. Because I don't know if you believe it or not, but we have an enemy that operates. He's got a kingdom, and he's trying to take you out. Amen. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Y'all know the scripture. I don't have to recite it. Amen. But with the principalities and powers, let me tell you something. Look at your neighbor and say, that's real. Oh, y'all not, y'all scared of each other. That's real. Amen. And as a leader, you got to know at what level they at and how far you can take them until you nurse them, until you help them to get where they supposed to be. Amen. Hallelujah. So he said, look, I want you to abide here. It says, and I and the lad, we gonna go yonder and sacrifice. Is that what it says? No, that ain't what it says. It says, me and the lad, we going to worship. Somebody say worship. And not only are we going to worship, we going to come again unto you. Now, I want you to put your finger and keep it at that point. He says, God says, I want you to go and sacrifice your son. I want you to go to Moriah, and when he get to the place, and he tells those that were with him, he says, we are going to worship. Oh, y'all missed that. He said, we going to worship. Not only are we going to worship, but we coming back. Now, y'all keep verse 5, because verse 5 finna mean something to you. Look at what it says in verse 6. It says, and Abraham took the wood and laid it upon his son Isaac. Amen. They're at Mount Moriah. Mount Moriah is a foreshadow of Calvary. It's thought to be Calvary itself. So they laid the wood on Isaac. Oh, y'all missed it. They laid the wood on Isaac's back. Oh, y'all missed that. He's at Calvary. They laid the wood on his back. Did they not lay the wood on Jesus' back? Wasn't Jesus carrying the very thing that was supposed to be his destruction? Here it is, Isaac is carrying the very thing that's supposed to be his destruction. He's at the Via della Rosa. He's at the beginning of the long walk up that, carrying the very thing that's supposed to be his destruction. But I stopped and paused to tell you that when you in God, the thing that's supposed to kill you is the thing that God's going to let you use to be the place where you get your worship on. Have anybody been through something was supposed to kill you, and now you just give God some praise? You lift up your hands. That was tried to kill you. God killed it, and you're dancing and praising on it. You wasn't supposed to make it out, but you made it. You wasn't supposed to talk again, but you're talking. You wasn't supposed to have your right mind, but you got your right mind. You wasn't supposed to be able to dance no more. Joy wasn't supposed to be found in your heart. But God took the very thing that was supposed to kill you. Hallelujah. He used it for a place of worship. Placed the wood on his back. Isaac has not said anything up to this point. He says, Father, verse number 6. He says, verse number 7. He says, Father, Abraham says, here I am, son. He says, behold the fire, the wood, But where is the lamb? Where is our sacrifice? I see the fire. I see the wood. And see, this is what a mature leader's response would be. My son, God will provide himself a lamb. Let me tell you something, when everything looked dark in your life, if you walk in and trust it in God, God's going to provide himself a sacrifice in your behalf. He says he will provide himself a lamb. Put your other finger there and just hold it. And the Bible says that they went, both of them, together. Can I have 10 more minutes? Do I got 10 more minutes? Hallelujah. I want y'all to see how this plays out. Verse 9 says, they came to the place that God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar. Woo! He came to the place that God had told him of. That was for the destruction of his son. But he built an altar. I wish I had some. I'm going to talk to these people. Regina, he went to the place that was supposed to be the destruction of his son. But when he got there, he built an altar. You see, an altar is a representation of a place of worship. An altar is a representation of a place where the presence of God came down and met in fellowship with man. See, they thought it was a place of destruction. Abraham said, I'm going to worship. So when he got to the place, he built an altar, but the altar wasn't for the destruction of his son. The altar was for worship. When you get in a place where they're supposed to kill you, build an altar and give God his praise. We got to start building God an altar. God wants his own glory. God wants the praises of men. Let's stop worrying and whining and complaining and start building God some altars. Abraham could have had a pity party. If Abraham would have had a pity party, Isaac would have died. Amen. So I want you to think about why you having your pity party, somebody dying. Look at your neighbor and say, grow up. Oh, sure. Y'all, hey, we need to switch some seats around. These folks in here scared to talk to each other. Amen, somebody. It's time to grow up and do what the Bible says, to understand what the Word of God says. Amen. Hallelujah. So look, he got to the place. And the Bible says that he built God an altar, but not only did he build God an altar, it says that the wood was laid. He just threw it any kind of way, because he was just going to burn an altar. He was just going to light it up and kill his son. It said, no, it was in order. Amen. God operates in every instance in order. Amen. Hallelujah. In the midst of your circumstances, in the midst of your trial, if you operate in the order that God has placed in your life and in your heart, I'm telling you, your circumstance is going to work out. Look at God. Abraham, being the faithful man of God, lifted up his hand to slay his son. And this is why I love Jesus. Because he was faithful, because he honored the Lord, because his faith was counted unto righteousness, because God said that he would be his shield and his great reward. When he lifted up his hand, that's when Jesus showed up. Woo! Let me tell you, Jesus will show up if you have faith in God and if you are in a position of worship. If you build God an altar, Jesus will show up. The Bible says that Jesus is sitting on the right hand of God, waiting until his enemies be made his footstool. I wrestled with that for a while. Amen. until God gave me the revelation of what he was talking about. He destroyed sin. He whooped the devil. Everything that we go through, he's already been through. What is his enemy? And then the Lord spoke to me. Fear. The lack of faith. The new covenant relationship is based purely on faith. The faith on the finished work of Christ on the cross. Amen. Through that faith, it empowers us and enables us. We get a free gift called righteousness. Amen. Hello, somebody. Some of us still praying to be righteous. And if you read Romans 5 and 17, it says that was a gift upon salvation. We got any Bible readers in here? Amen. So the Bible says in verse 11, it says, and the angel of the Lord called. Amen. See, God can only call you when you've been tried and tested. It was in the midst of the worst circumstance that could possibly be happening to Abraham. He was about to slay his son. The fire was going. The wood was set. He was tied up. The knife's in the air. And just then, I want to let you know that Jesus shows up in the midnight hour. 11:59 and 45 seconds, Jesus gonna show up. Look at what Jesus says, and I'm about to close. It says, Abraham says, lay not thy hand upon the lad. We're in verse 12. Amen. It says, For now I know that thou fearest God. Now that is a strange statement until you go back and look at what happened with the issue of Hagar and Sarah. God spoke, now hear me clearly, leaders. Hear me clearly, Pastor. God spoke to Abraham and gave him instructions about what was going to happen. He said, out of your loins going to come the seed. Through fear and the lack of faith, Sarah transposes and takes now the place of leadership. God has spoke to Abraham. Sarah was his helpmate. But Sarah now steps out of her place as a helpmate and now tries to be the leader. She is now in a position that she was not created, nor is she designed to be in. When the leader does not step up, those around him will be placed in a position they are not designed nor created to be in. Sarah now moves into a dimension that she was not built to be in. And so her judgment was a reflection of the fact she was not supposed to be there. Abraham, on the other hand, did not rise up as the leader he was supposed to be, and he followed the instruction of the one that wasn't designed to be there. So what happened is now Ishmael is born out of self-effort, and now Abraham is now in a place where Sarah is now leading and he is now following. And God has to circumvent this situation and get it back right, because if you're going to be the man of God, the woman of God that I've called you for, I've got to put you in a place where I can trust you. The only way that I can trust you now is I've got to tempt you. I've got to tempt you, let me tell you something, with the very thing that you love the most. I want to ask you a question. What do you love the most? What are you willing to take to the altar? Because I'm going to tell you, God is a jealous God, and he'll have no idols before him. Not your wife, not your children, not your job, not anything. This whole circumstance was because Abraham had gotten out of place. I got to see if he's worthy, Brother Lawan. I got to see if he's worthy for what I have purposed in his life. Jesus calls out and say, don't do the lad no harm, because now, Pastor Derry, I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld anything. The very thing you love the most. Let me tell you something. You can't love God and love anything more than God. God is going to give you the desires of your heart. So if he gave you a helpmate, he gave you children, if you love him first, they're going to be blessed. Amen. Last I read, the Bible says the seed of the righteous shall be saved. Hello. You can't be righteous unless you put God first. You want to save Junebug? Quit hollering at him and start loving God more than you love anything. Notice here, and I'm closing. Verse 13. Now Abraham, in a right place, in a right condition, for the second time in this story, lifts up his eyes. Woo! God's, ooh, this is good stuff. He lifts up his eyes, he turns around, and there's a ram stuck in the thicket. Now, you remember that Abraham said, me and the lad are going off to worship? Y'all remember that? And the lad asked, where is the lamb? And Abraham said, God's going to provide. Well, let me tell you something. A lamb offering is a sin offering. But a ram offering is for the act of worship, an expression of devotion, commitment, and complete surrenders to God. God was not looking for a sin offering. God was looking for a ram offering. I stopped by to tell you guys, God ain't looking for no sin offering from none of y'all. God is looking for a ram offering. God wants your devotion. God wants your sincere worship. God wants all of you. I want every head and bow, every eye closed, every head bow. Can I get the musician back on? Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. For the love of God and my divine.
Amen. That was Pastor Ron Nelson from Progressive Faith Ministries in Rancho Cordova near Sacramento. And you've been listening to Abundant Life Worship Center's podcast. If you need more information about what we're doing here at Abundant Life Worship Center, feel free to check out our website at www.abundantlifeworship.net. My name is Pastor Derry Moten, and we thank you for being with us. God bless you.